When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cohn. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cohn in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cohn has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Life. Call his wife in. Hey, how we doing? 404. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Final hour of our five-hour midnight ride. But don't worry. If you want more of me, if 5 hours isn't enough, I'll be on later today in the afternoon filling in for, I guess, Tiki and Evan. Me and Marash will be in the afternoon today at 2 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Big night for the New York Mets. Big night for both teams moving forward now as the Yankees will go to Boston and the Mets will take on game two of Atlanta. But they won last night in heroic fashion. Happy Jeff comes through with a fly ball that's overrun in right field by Laureano. The ball drops. The Mets win 3-2 in extra innings. The Braves practically did everything they could to blow the game. They've struggled as much as anyone. And really, here's the story. The Mets just beat up the New York Yankees, and they've taken the first of this four-game set against Atlanta, two of their biggest rivals, two teams that have traditionally taken care of the New York Mets. The Mets are something different right now. That's just the truth. The Mets feel a bit like magic. Last night was, you can get mad at me all you want. Last night was a lucky win. But luck is the residue of design. Luck is something you create. Good teams have luck. It's special to be like this. It's special to kick the tar out of the New York Yankees one night and then find a way, whether it be miraculous, lucky, whatever word you want to look at, and take care of the Braves when you only get three hits in the entire game and one of them was just overrun a fly ball to right field for the game winner from Happy Jeff, who's been completely different since the All-Star break. And this team, and multiple things, including Budo now, who has become a major weapon in the bullpen. And that's where this game was won last night in the sixth inning after Lindor, your MVP, continues to be one of the best players in baseball over the last, 3 months as he's just absolutely killing it. Heading into the game last night as the leadoff hitter, since he's moved to leadoff hitter, heading into the game last night where he hit a two-run home run. But he had played 58 games. He's hitting 304. He's got an OPS of 950. He's one of the best players in baseball since becoming the leadoff hitter. He gives you a lead with a two-run home run. Severino in the sixth inning gives up three singles and the lead. And the new reliever of the New York Mets, Buto, coming off the starting rotation in the bullpen now, is an absolute weapon that every team would love to have, the kind of pitcher that he's become here, where he's not only a reliever who can come in, nobody out, sixth inning, runners on first and second of a tie game, and get out of a jam, and then give you another two innings. He gives you the length. He gives you the strikeout, the swing and miss on his changeups has been far up. He's walking less people out of the bullpen. His stuff plays better in the bullpen. His changeup is getting more swings and misses in the bullpen. And he's been able to come in, get out of jams, and give you length as he pitches the sixth, seventh, and eighth inning of this game, getting you to the ninth in Diaz of a tie game. All nine batters face, nine up, nine down. I mean, that is an incredible performance from him. And someone in this bullpen, very much like used to be used by Michael King for the New York Yankees. If you can come in, and some of those guys usually need, fresh, clean innings. He comes in with two runners on, a run already in the biggest moment of the game with the game on the line of a tied game at 2-2, gets out of the jam, gives you two more innings, and sets you up for victory. That is an incredibly powerful weapon. Now, who knows if it'll last, but if he's going to pitch like this, moving him to the bullpen has been a game changer, and that is a weapon that every team would love to have. Important games, you can close out games. You turn games into five-inning games using two pitchers. It saves your bullpen moving forward. the rest of this series now? You just three innings from one guy to get you to Diaz? In an extra inning game, you saved all those innings? Moving in a four-game set against Atlanta here? As you are now a half a game behind them, one game in the loss column for the first overall wild card? You win a game where you only get three hits. You get that kind of performance from Severino. You get that kind of performance from Buto. A stretch here where the Mets' offense has been dominating, and that's what's gotten you here. On a night, even when the offense goes cold against the Atlanta Braves, who are just floundering themselves. Obviously, no Acuna, no Albies. An offense with, you know, guys like Matt Olson having the worst year of his career, really struggling to score runs to the point they're doing stupid things like trying to steal third base in the ninth, pulling suicide squeezes that their manager didn't even call for in the 10th inning. The Braves are falling apart. The Yankees are falling apart. And here come the Mets to put their foot on their throat. And if I'm a Met fan right now, I see the special nature of what's going on. I see the bottom of the lineup all having magical career seasons. I see Iglesias coming up and hitting, having 1,000 OPS and changing the feel of the team with his music. I see Taylor having a career year. I see Bader having a career year. I see Vientos, who was jettisoned happily by the Met fans to the minor leagues, coming up and dominating here over the last 40 or 50 games, however long he's been here. It's been crazy. When you have this much going for you, when you've completely turned it around, and as you watch yourself about to pass the Atlanta Braves in the wild card standings, for me, I look at this deadline completely different. And it's changing day to day, week to week. It went from sell everybody, including Pete Alonso, to hey, let's give it a second, to hey, no way we can sell, to hey, maybe we should buy, to now where I think they should buy heavy. And they should, Stern should reevaluate what this team is right now, how they're playing, their standing in the standings, and as well as just the overall nature of how good they are compared to every other team this side of Philadelphia and maybe the Dodgers. And maybe we should be talking about more how the Mets should be looking for top of the rotation pitching. And maybe we should be looking more about how the Mets should be looking for a legitimate back end of the rotation pieces, even if it costs you top prospects, even if they're rentals. Because for me, when you start seeing the things you're seeing, when you start seeing the lineup top to bottom, when you start seeing miraculous wins against teams that have owned you for decades, when you see the feeling around this team, when your best players are performing like MVPs and Lindor, and your worst players are playing like the best worst players of any team in baseball, you know what happens? That's a special type of thing. And you don't run from it, you embrace it. And I understand building the future was plan A of this team. And that's why, this GM was brought here to build that, the way he built Milwaukee, take that mid-market frame and thought process of building for the future and sustained, winning through development, and add the rich pockets of the richest owner in baseball and add that to the Mets and have that, breed of both of those fundamental thought processes and do it in a timely fashion and keep all these prospects you've added. But you know what? Sometimes things change. And when this kind of season is thrusted upon you, a Met fan and the Met fan franchise should understand they're few and far between. 2 years ago, they won 101 games and it felt like, ooh, this is just the start of the Buck Showalter era. And last year was a disaster. And who knows what next year will be or what these prospects will be. And while I understand trying to build for the future and have sustained winning and create a foundation, I get it. And there are only a few people I would be interested in selling the farm for, but on some level, I feel like this team is showing you that they're not only just contenders, or they're not only just a playoff team, or they're not only just a team that's better than you thought they were. It's a team that can be better than everybody else. They're not there yet. They have holes. I'd be much more interested in filling them with legitimate players than I was a couple of days ago. And maybe that's reactionary. I'm open to that. But this is, what we're seeing here is stuff that makes you wonder what kind of year this could be. And the Matons of the world are nice, and they're better than what they've had, and they help a little bit. And maybe you catch lightning in the bottle by sending another starter into the bullpen like Buto, and maybe, you know, things work themselves out. Or maybe you make sure they work out, and you chase a winning team because that's what you got here. Yankees, not so much, as their deadline must start right now because it's already started in the rest of baseball. Rosarena traded from the Rays to the Mariners. A.J. Puck traded from reliever from Miami, traded to Arizona. The time is now because they're about to start a Red Sox series, and they could use Stanton, who should be activated right away. I don't care. I've seen videos of him jogging around the bases already. That's it. That's all he does. So put him out there in Fenway. They got no other better options. He should be activated, and they need to start making moves now because this series, as the Red Sox are only a couple games behind them, and the Yankees are still two games behind Baltimore, as it took extra innings to finally beat the Marlins for Baltimore. Its time is come. The end of all of this needs to be now. 888-808-1019. Danny and Belrose, my guy. What's up, bud?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Can't complain. It's Friday, so yeah.
It is Friday.
Yeah, so
all day.
Looking at this all day, 24/7. So, I'm looking at this Red Sox Yankee series. I would love them to take 2 out of 3, but who knows with the way the team's being. But I think today will be a toss up. You know, the Cortez has been shaky, but I like our chances with Stroman and Carlos Rodon and two guys I like to target for the Tanner Scott. You know, obviously for the Marlins.
Yes.
For Church, right? And I also like Luis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. The infield.
Rengifo, the third baseman from the Angels.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, listen, I think Tanner Scott would be tremendous in the back end of the bullpen. Love it. Lefty, swing and miss stuff. 100%. All on board. Rengifo and Jonathan India seem to be the biggest two names prevalent, as well as maybe Paredes. But, again, making a deal with Tampa is tough for the Yankees. And you're always hesitant. They've become the Belichick-led Patriots of Major League Baseball, where you're afraid you're going to get bamboozled when you make a trade with them. You're afraid you're going to get absolutely taken advantage of because they're so smart. That's what it feels like, even though I don't like this trade for them with a Rosarena. But I'm hesitant to do that, but it's on the table. But yeah, Jonathan India and Rengifo seem to be. There's other names, Fairling out of Detroit is a name we've heard, but they absolutely have to go at least one bat, preferably two infield bats, along with Stanton come back, along with Jason Dominguez coming back, and along with John Birdie coming back. They need all of those players to come back, play well, and add two players, and have Volpe, Verdugo, and Torres play better. They need all of that, and it's a lot, but it's not undoable. And again, I'm still pie in the sky, hoping for the crazy thing. And right now, we talked about it. Caller mentioned it. I brought it up a month ago, more than that, maybe even now at this point. I'd be open to trading for Vladimir Guerrero. I know it's going to be a high price. I'm assuming they're selling. They should. That group is just, they don't have it. We can argue, we can yell about the Yankees. That was supposed to be, and we should, but I mean, that was supposed to be a group of young, you know, second generation all-star players and that we're going to have this great lineup and take over the division. And instead, they have completely fallen on their face. And they never win a big game. And they've yet to win a playoff game. I mean, it's unbelievable how poor that group has been together. So I would sell it. And if I'm the Yankees and they want Spencer Jones, plus, he's been hot as hell over the last 7 days. You want to talk about mixing up the clubhouse and sending shockwaves to the organization. I told you, I got the one thing I would do to send shockwaves is I would absolutely DFA DJ LeMahieu. I think he's got enough cachet inside that room. He's been a good enough player. They've seen it. DJ LeMahieu has been there with Aaron Judge, with Gleyber Torres, with Gerrit Cole. They've seen him win a batting title. They've seen him finish third in the MVP. They've seen him be a dominant player with runners in scoring position. They know he's got a contract. And if you DFA him and simply say, I don't care how much money you make, I don't care what you've done for us in the past, and I don't care how many friends you have in this room, if you don't perform, you're not going to be here. is the exact message that needs to be sent to this team. And more than firing the manager, DFAing DJ LeMahieu would do that. There's my guy, Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, I'd rather choke on a boneless chicken wing with a bone in it than have Aaron Boone and Cashman come back next year.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, we'll see. It depends. You know, if they're World Series champions, I think you'll be fine with it, but we got to see.
Correct. I did call about the NFL.
You did?
I did call about the NFL. My buddy called it 10 years, and I gave him credit yesterday. 10 years ago, he said that the NFL, with all the contracts and the direction it's going, that we're going to start to have to pay, you know, outside the box for stuff. And I think we saw it last year, right, with the what was it, the Peacock?
Yeah,
you had to get that network for the Dolphin playoff game?
Correct.
And then now, is it, you probably know more about this stuff. I don't know enough, but I wanted to touch on it and then maybe learn from you. But I think, is it YouTube now to get a package? It's $440 or something like that?
Yeah,
and
I mean,
does that include the playoffs too? Or what is that?
No, it's the NFL Sunday Ticket. It's been around for forever. It used to be on DirecTV, and you could only get it through DirecTV, and now it's on YouTube. It's moved to YouTube. It is about $400, and it's every single, not local, obviously, out of market, every single out of market NFL game of the regular season, not prime time either. So every Sunday out of market game, not Jet or Giant, out of market game, the every game in the NFL every Sunday afternoon.
Okay, so I guess his point was, like, when he got wrestling 10 years ago, because he watches that stuff, so he had to get, I forgot, I think it was Peacock, I think he had it already.
WWE had its own app and had its own network, and then it was bought and sold to Peacock, and now it's through Peacock, yes.
Okay, so, but I guess the point is, will we start to see in the near future, you know, Super Bowl is a pay-per-view event, right? Because people are going to... Wait, hold on. And then playoff game. Well, we saw them touch on it last year with the playoffs. Will we start to see that kind of stuff with the a la carte? Because I think they have that now, right? In all the games and all the sports, right? Well, is that on, you know, where you could order, like, basketball games, like, individually, and hockey games? You see that, right, on TV?
Yeah, I don't think so. I know the MSG and the Knicks came out with an app, I think, and you can order that game a la carte. It's not like you can't find it, but I don't think it's as prevalent as you think. I don't think you could just at any moment order any game you want. It's not like that, no. And your point about the NFL Sunday Ticket, it's been like that forever. That's a service of, you don't have to, if you're a Giant fan, you don't need the NFL Sunday Ticket to watch your game. In fact, you can't watch it on that. That's for extreme football fans who want to watch every single game on Sunday. And it's the greatest thing ever. But that's not the same, you don't need that to watch your game. That's not the same as complaining, I need Roku to watch a Yankee game. I need Amazon to watch a Yankee game. If you want to watch every single Cleveland Brown game, if you want to watch every single Baltimore Raven game, if you want to watch every single Jacksonville Jaguar game, then you need the Sunday Ticket. But that's been around forever. That's not new. It's been around for a long time and exclusive to DirecTV for all those years, and now exclusive to YouTube. And I had a great go of it last year. It was unbelievable. I think we had one issue. There was one game that was an issue. And I remember Marchand talking about it, and I guess they might have been given some refunds for that day or something. But ultimately, it was pretty much smooth sailing. I never had buffering issues. I never had any kind of... I definitely would recommend it if you're interested in it. I had no issues with it. Is it pricey? Sure, it's pricey. No doubt. But it was really, I didn't have a single issue with YouTube. It was never, couldn't load, bunch of buffering. I had it on multiple TVs. I've discussed my TV watching system. I have three televisions in my family room, living room, den, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. I have a big one in the middle, and then I have two smaller ones on the outside. And of course, like an idiot, I bought all Samsung, and the freaking remotes control all the TVs, and it's impossible to get volume down on one or the other. I literally bought wireless headphones. I have one. I might have to buy another one for football season and connect each wireless headphone to that distinct television. And I better make sure I buy different brand wireless headphones too, otherwise I'll have a problem programming it. And I'll be picking up headphones and putting them on. Ridiculous. But that's how much I love, football Sunday, watching with the Sunday Ticket is an experience, man. it's crazy. You can't do anything. My wife hates it because my son will come in and ask for something, and I'm just like, huh? You're emerged. You're completely immersed in that world for a complete afternoon. But that's not extra. That's not the NFL imposing on you. The NFL imposing on you is Christmas Day. That's the NFL imposing on you. I can't tell you. I'm working with Sean Marash later today in the afternoon. Me and him agree on this one 100%. I cannot stand NFL on Christmas Sunday on Christmas Day. I cannot stand it. If it's on a Sunday, if it's on a Monday, fine. They're working it in now every day of the week. It's absolute garbage. We got to try and make that work with our families on Christmas Day. Man, when the Giants played the Eagles on Christmas Day, it was the worst thing ever. It's a disaster. That's imposing on family. That's too much. I hate that. It would be one thing if it'd been part of the culture forever, like the NBA. Adding it to the NFL schedule sucks. That's imposing. That's adding too much. The NFL Sunday Ticket's just a great product if you want to buy it.
Talk New York Sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Woo! So I saw a couple things in baseball. Yeah, Dylan Cease pitches the second no-hitter in Padres history as they beat the Nationals 3-0, and they're right in the thick of things in the wild-card standings. I believe they're like a half a game behind the Mets. And Dylan Cease was one of those pitchers along the way that the Mets absolutely pounded when they were building up this record, when this offense really started getting going, and they were just dominating every starting pitcher they faced. Dylan Cease, one of the best pitchers in the league, who now has thrown a no-hitter, was absolutely dominated by this Mets offense. They take on all comers. They've got a bunch of Cy Youngs along the way. They got the best ERA at the time in baseball along the way. They just knocked through every single starting pitcher. Although Chris Sale did do a number on them last night, they still found a way to win. That's what you do. And I'm telling you, the biggest difference for me, I don't know how Mets fans feel. I know how pessimistic they are, other than Loogie. I did, you know, like the feeling they're going to win that game. Like, you're in the ninth inning. They got a runner on second base. Diaz is on the mound. And under different circumstances, you might be pretty damn worried. Extra innings, they bunt the runner over, which I hate. I thought Atlanta handled extra innings terribly. But still, you got a runner on third. Extra innings. You're going to lose that game, right? To the Atlanta Braves? You've lost that game for decades. It's not how it felt. Just watching it, it's not how it felt. It felt like they were going to find a way to win the game. It felt like they were going to find a way to win the game. And boy, did they ever. As they lofted one as Happy Jeff. And Jeff McNeil has been incredible. And no, I don't want to move him. I'm hearing a lot of, I don't know what the, here's the thing. Yes, he's had a hot week, and maybe he's upped his value, and he does have a track record. He's won a batting title. Maybe you can get a team to believe in him. But I don't think this hot week has upped his trade value as much as it's upped his value to this team moving forward. I think that's where the greater value is, as opposed to, oh, now I can get some pieces for him. I mean, if you truly do not believe, like, even if Jeff, if you think he's got a good hot streak in him and ultimately next year is still a crapshoot, I'll take the hot streak right now. I'm trying to win. Like, I think they need to prioritize winning here and not the future. Not anymore. The future was the priority. That's the diametric shift I'm talking about over what we've seen. And I know a lot of people are hesitant to do so. I heard Gio this morning, hesitant to do so. I know a lot of Met fans hesitant to do so. I suggested on Twitter, I get a bunch of Met fans saying, trolling us, oh, a Yankee fan would love to see us trade away our farm system and still lose in the playoffs. Well, I mean, if you think you're still going to lose, but what if you win? Like, I mean, just like the Yankees, it's no longer a stretch. This isn't a stretch with the Mets anymore. I understand they just came off splitting with Miami. 4th of July, they split with Washington. They lost the last game of the series against Colorado. They're not perfect. They have holes. That's why I want to address them. That's why I want to address the holes. I want them to, but I mean, they've shown me enough offensively, and I've seen enough special things. Like, that's the thing, too. Like, part of it is the winning. Part of it is the playing. Part of it's the lineup. Obviously, a major part of it, how they're playing and the players, how they're performing. Mendoza's done a great job. Everything he touches turns to gold. Every decision he makes, putting Buto in the bullpen has been a huge success. Like, almost every decision the guy makes, he's on one hell of a run. So is the team. So is Jeff McNeil. So is Taylor. So is Bader. So is Iglesias. I mean, everyone, career years up and down the lineup. And then there's little bits of magic. There's a ball landing when it has no business landing. Like, that's just, it's one of the things. That's not a game you beat the Atlanta Braves. The ball lands for the Mets. The Mets are the ones who overrun it in right field. The Mets are the one who dropped the pop-up. The Mets are the ones who get thrown out trying to steal third. And it just doesn't feel like that right now. It feels like the other team's going to make the mistakes and the Mets are going to capitalize on it. And they're at the trade deadline here where they can really make an impact and give this team everything it could need to make it to the postseason and beyond. And that's what I would do. Like, I respect the future. I love the future. The future is now. Winning always trumps. We have no idea what next year would look like, what these prospects are going to pan out to be. No idea. I know right now this team looks like a team that is a legitimate contender. I'd rather help that team than help imaginary teams in the future. 888-808-1019. The other said, I mentioned two things in baseball. I also saw that Mike Trout has abandoned his rehab assignment. Left in the second inning of the game he was playing in yesterday. I mean, this, and they have no idea. We also, have a couple of different injuries. Mason Miller broke his pinky. Apparently, if I read this story correctly, it was from a reputable source, but it seemed like a joke. He punched the table in frustration after being told he had to lift. He forgot to do his lifting and he was on his way out and had to go back into the weight room. And that's what angered him, not like a mistake on the field. That's what I'm wondering if I got punked on that one, but it. Mason came to the training room and was going through his recovery. He was reminded that he had a post-game lift to get in, and out of a little bit of frustration, he kind of punched his fist down on the padded table out of emotion. And that's how he broke his pinky. He's on his way out. The manager says, hey, you got a little post-game lift still to do. Ah! Broke a finger on the IL. One of the biggest trade targets in the league and one of the best closers, one of the best relievers. Broke his hand because he was pissed off he had to go lift weights. Oh, my God. At least Kevin Brown did it because he sucked. I mean, the idea that you're mad you had to go back in and work out and that's how you break your finger, you dope. Oh, my God. But there's that injury. Again, Mike Trout, who just can't stay healthy. And I wonder if we ever really see the real Mike Trout again. I mean, every time he plays, you get it. Even at the beginning of this year, on fire. His body has betrayed him at every turn. It's really unbelievable. It's a sad story because it's one of the great baseball players ever. And because of his inability to stay healthy, his stubbornness wanting to stay on the Angels, we're never going to see this dude. We're never going to see him. Mike Trout is going to go down as one of the greatest baseball players to never be watched. He played alongside Ohtani, couldn't make the playoffs. I mean, he's made one playoff series. He lost all three games. He plays at 10 o'clock at night. This is one of the greatest baseball players to ever live, three-time MVP, greatest player of this generation. There's no real memories of him. There's no moments. There's nothing we'll discuss. There's no, oh, you remember when Mike Trout did this? Or like, other than just remember when Mike Trout was great? That's it. There is no signature defining. I mean, Unfortunately, the only one I can even think of is getting struck out by Ohtani as the last out of the World Baseball Classic. Like, that's it. He had I believe it was against the Red Sox. He had a nondescript sweep at the hands of Boston. That's it. I mean, he is going to be one of the great players who never did anything. And it sucks. And he just can't get healthy. His knee is now bothering him again. It's unbelievable. 888-808-1019. Back to the calls. Craig in Staten Island. What's up, Craig?
Hey, C-Mac. Good to hear you.
Love good to hear show. You.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Listen, I just want to say, like, Mets fans, look, it's past the luck, okay? Luck's when you win your crappy team, you win for 2 weeks, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, people have to understand this lineup is good enough to win a World Series, this lineup.
No doubt.
Just like the Nationals did, Braves did it without Acuna. They have timely hitting. That's one thing to touch on the Yankees. It's unfair that they're asking Judge and Soto, because if I'm a manager, I'm walking both of them because the rest of the lineup has proven they can't do the job. So at right. the end of the day, I mean, everybody needs to calm down, and I'm not even a Yankee fan with Judge and Soto, because it's like hockey. You can't expect your goaltender to do everything. Right now, the Yankees are like basically the Clippers of basketball with two good players and no bench.
Right. I mean, yeah, I don't think anyone's clamoring and killing Soto and Judge necessarily, other than Judge had an opportunity against the Mets the other night and got struck out looking by Diekman. But I don't think anyone's really on them. I think everyone has that same prevailing thought you do, that it's just them, and how can baseball is not a sport like that.
Exactly. You have to give these guys help. If you look at that Met lineup, and you brought it to everybody's attention, really, they're not doing this on garbage pitching.
No.
That's where luck is not a part of it. I can see if it's the Marlins, you know, they got lucky and they beat the Orioles. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this on good pitching and against good teams. If that's not a month and a half of winning, what's more plausible, a month and a half of winning or a month and a half of losing? Like Rex Ryan said, you are what your record says you are.
Exactly right. Well, I mean, and right now the Mets are a couple games over 500 and right there a game behind in the loss column behind Atlanta for the last wild card. And the Yankees are 16 games over 500 in the first wild card and two games behind Baltimore for first place. That's where both of them are, winning, losing in different orders. I mean, it's been a tale of two seasons for both of them, flipped in reverse. The Mets and you'd rather be the Mets. You'd rather be the team that got off to the terrible start and is now hot as opposed to the team that got off to a great start and is now ice cold. But there's no question the lineup's good enough to win. There's no question. It's as good and deep as any lineup in baseball. It's good enough to win. Is the starting pitching good enough to win? Is the bullpen good enough to win? Those are the questions. And yeah, they did it against a bunch of different. They did it like you said, like I said, Dylan Cease, Imanaga, John Gray in Texas during that stretch where they were really just killing up on. They beat Gerrit Cole. They've done it against all different, you know, it's not just been bad teams and bad pitching. It hasn't been. They've hit good pitching. Lindor's hit everything. And now it's the matter of, with the deadline approaching, how much do you want to help? And how much are you willing to give up? And is that first plan, here's the real crux of the question. There was plan A, build for the future, create long sustaining winning, build a foundation of the organization. Plan A. Plan B, at which they run simultaneously and parallel to each other. Plan B, try and win. Those are the two plans running right alongside each other, but ultimately if one was, you know, going to happen, they wanted A. But now, you know, B has taken over. For me, B becomes A. You get what I'm saying? A was A, B was B. Now B should be A, and A should be B. I can't make it any clearer.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So I have to just fix something that was said here by the last caller that I can't believe I didn't pick up on, and CeeLo is all over it. CeeLo will be on the warm-up show coming up in about 13 minutes. I walk out there and he said, did that caller just say, like Rex Ryan said, you are what your record says you are. And you know what? He's right. He did. And I can't believe I didn't correct that. Oh, my God. Everybody knows Joe Judge said that. How the hell could I let that slip? Obviously, Bill Parcells said, you are what your record says you are. Rex Ryan. Don't put them in the same breath. The great Bill Parcells. And listen, Rex Ryan's, at least I'll give Rex Ryan this, because a lot of my Giant fan friends don't understand that I literally genuine, like, they're like, bro, you do these shows, we listen every once in a while when we can, when, you know, my buddy's a police officer who works the shift every once in a while, and he's just like, you love the Jets, man. It's disgusting how much you love the Jets. I'm like, I don't love the Jets. I think they're good, and I have no reason to hate the Jets. Like, why would I hate the Jets? They play once every 4 years. They're insignificant to the Giants. They play here in New York. We watch them. They have Aaron Rodgers. I hope they're going to be good. I want to see winning football. That's why. I like the Jets. Oh, you love the Jets. It's disgusting. Okay. The only time I ever hated the Jets was Rex Ryan. Right? He you know, liked to talk game. Him and Brandon Jacobs covering up everything blue. Or covering up well, they always do that. But no, covering up the championships, right? Whatever nonsense he was pulling. When he came in here and had to act like, you know, not here to kiss Belichick's ring, not here to be the Giants' little brother, all that stuff. So really, since then, I like the Jets. Why wouldn't I? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand why people get hung up on this stuff. Knicks, you want to hate the Nets? If you want to bother with them. They do compete, and there's a little one for Alex right there. If you want to even, like, worry about the Nets, if they still play basketball, they're in the division. I get it. Right? Rangers, Islanders, damn right you hate the Islanders. You hate the Devils. I get it. The Giants and Jets play one game every 4 years, and the only meaningful one that ever plays in the Super Bowl. Like, it's not that big a deal. There's no reason to hate the other football team in this town. Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hello, Chris. How's everything? Well, I got to tell you something. I was at the last two games for the Yankees versus the Mets, and I got to tell you something. What a disaster.
Yeah, disaster.
What a complete disaster. I mean, number one, first of all, I think there's more Mets fans than Yankee fans in Yankee Stadium. That was number one.
I was in the press box for the first game, and while I wouldn't go that far, you ain't kidding. There was the Mets fan did themselves that building was probably 60-40, but it was much more than I thought it was going to be. There were a ton of Mets fans there. You are not wrong.
Okay, number two, where my seats are, we realized something about Soto. His hand is still damaged because he had it all wrapped up in Band-Aids, and we watched it, and you know, no one caught on to it until I looked at it and said, he took off his glove, and you can see it's all wrapped up and everything. Yeah. So that's number two.
I mean, yeah, but I hate to break it to you. He's had multiple swings over the last week where he takes time out and, like, grimaces and tries to get his hand right. There is no doubt. He's talked about it. His hand is in pain. He's dealing with it. It's a pain issue. They don't believe he can hurt himself anymore. It hurts only on a swing and miss seems to bother him more than anything else. But, no, there's no doubt. He's got a sore hand that bothers him every once in a while, but it's not an injury, and they don't think he can injure it any further. But he's dealing with it, no doubt.
Okay, number three. Actually, you know, everyone keeps on calling. I listen to the fan, and everyone says, well, fire this, fire that. They want to fire Boone, they want to fire Cashman, okay? Yep. Here's the thing. The first two, the beginning of the season, the Yankees had the best record in baseball. And I've always said this. I don't think the Yankee players, Boone can get what he has to get out of this team, and Cashman has to, before the trading deadline, has to make some adjustments and get something else. The biggest part to it is that not having, you know, and I complain about Stanton the whole time that I don't like him, but I got to tell you something. The Yankees, where they miss is Stanton because, you know, the first game, they walked Judge four times in a row because you're batting no one behind him. Right. And when at least when you had Stanton batting behind him, you have someone to say, okay, now we have to pitch to him. And it's just to the point where the Yankees don't have it. You know, they put Jones as leadoff hitter. That was a complete joke. But I really do believe, Chris, that it's time to make a change in manager. I don't know who to bring in, but I think it's time for a match because the Yankees in 2 years, they start off with a great beginning season, and then after midseason, they go bonkers. They do a 360 left, and they don't play well.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. Again, 2 years ago, they did, you know, avoid the disaster. They won 99 games and then got beat. It's not like they have the collapse and then finish the collapse. They played poorly at the end of 22. And again, we talk about it like, oh my God, same crap again. Yes, they played poorly. They won 99 games in a division. And yes, they got swept by the Astros, no doubt. Judge did nothing. Tell you right now, the Yankees could turn this all around, win every game between now and the postseason, go play an ALDS, and if Judge goes hitless, they ain't going to win. That's it. So, like, I'm tired of hearing back to the other season. Yes, I get it. It's the same thing, no doubt. They've played well, then they played poorly. They were historic. It's these highs and lows. It's never, like, honestly, we just said, you are what your record says you are. Well, they are the wild card leader. So apparently, it's not just you are what your record says you are, because we all think they suck. If they would have just had an average win some, lose some, win some, win some, lose some, lose some, win some, lose some, and we're here, we'd all be fairly competent and happy at the idea they're only two games behind the 100-win team of Baltimore last year. We'd all be somewhat pleased. If you would have told the New York Yankees heading in that they would be two games behind Baltimore and the number one wild card team, I think we would have been okay with it. But it's these highs and lows. And it needs to stop, don't get me wrong. And it was disgusting. And I've been saying it all morning. I think the move shouldn't be to fire Boone. I don't know if it helps. I don't think it does. I really don't. They need to make, you know, the team isn't good enough. They need to send a message. Firing the manager, I just don't see it. You know what they need to do? They need to send a message that not playing good means something. And they tried to get LeMahieu hot. They've tried long enough. They've tried him. They've thrown him out there. They put him lead off for a couple games, I believe. I know it was one for sure. I think it was two. But they let him off. They're trying to get him going. There's only so much they could do. They need to release someone who's not playing well. And for me, the biggest statement they can make with this team is releasing DJ LeMahieu. It says, I don't care about money because he's under contract for the next 2 years for $30 million. It says, I don't care about money, which is something that's important to the fans and will resonate inside that room because of the money issue, because of the fact DJ LeMahieu is well-respected and has been a great player for the New York Yankees in front of these guys. Judge has seen him finish third in the MVP. Judge has seen him win a batting title. So is Stanton. So is Cole. I think he's got enough cachet, even though he's sucked for the last 2 years. He's got enough cachet in that room where it would send a little bit of a message. Like, hey, we love him. He was great. We signed him to a long-term contract, wanted him to be here. You know what? He can't play anymore. That's it. And if you can't help us win, unfortunately, we don't have room for you. That's the message that needs to be sent. And DJ LeMahieu, for me, as much as I like DJ LeMahieu, I do. And I'm hoping, every day, I hope he gets going. I hope he gets going. Even when he let off, I said, good. If you're going to have him in the lineup anyway, let's try and get him fastballs in front of Judge and Soto. I'm in. Try and get him going. But we've seen it. Even when he hits the ball hard, he beats it into the ground. He has awful swings. He can't do it anymore. And a message needs to be sent. You want to talk about accountability? This is it. It needs to be accountability for the players, not the manager. You want to fire the manager too? Okay. I don't think it'll help as much as getting rid of a player. But I'm open. It's been that bad. Fire the manager. I don't care. Think Brad Osmus is going to come here with all the solutions? Okay, great. You think he's holding them back? You think Brad Osmus has all the solutions? He's just waiting for Boone to be gone? Holding his time, like, man, I could fix this whole thing. I can't wait till they fire him. Can't wait till they fire him. They need to send a message to the players that you can't just sit around and perform like this. That's why everyone was mad. Me too. They waited too long with Aaron Hicks. You can't be trash for this long and be a New York Yankee. That needs to be said on some level. Or at least bench him. Stop throwing him out there. Something. But that's what I would do. I would release a key player that I know I'm going to replace anyway at the trade deadline. Rob in Arizona. What's up, Rob?
What's up, bro? So I've been, I'm 31 years old, so I'm not really old enough to understand the whole, the George Steinbrenner era. Like, you know, I got a little bits and pieces of it there at the end. But I honestly just, the way I see it, like, Hal just needs to go. I looked at a chart the other day where the Yankees revenue was $650 billion or million dollars, and we're spending not even half of our salary on it. But then you see Cohen, and he's only making, like, $15 million. To his revenue. So it's just like, you know, I go back to the times where I'm looking at where the Yankees should got Gerrit Cole before he even went to Houston. One heartbreak.
I don't have a lot of time, so I want to just get to the few things you said before I let you say a whole bunch. One, they could have traded for him for Houston. It was Andujar and Frazier, I think, was the deal that they denied. He wouldn't have been the same pitcher. He needed to go to Houston. They had a developmental thing going there. They turned Verlander's career around. They turned his career around, throwing high fastballs. He would not have been the same pitcher with the New York Yankees. It wouldn't have worked the same as it worked in Houston. He might not ever become the Cy Young Award winner of last year. Now, should they have gotten him? I suppose, but I'm just telling you, it wouldn't have been the same thing. And as far as Hal Steinbrenner, he's going nowhere. He needs to spend more money. Totally true. Steve Cohen's done it so far. What has it got him? Ugats. Yeah, they're winning right now in the moment, but the years of spending money hasn't necessarily won. And enough with George Steinbrenner. George Steinbrenner caused chaos throughout the 80s. Let's fire the manager. George would have fired the manager. Oh, you bet your ass he would have fired the manager, and then he would have fired the next guy for losing the Boston series. He'd fire Boone today. Osmus would have the Boston series. They'd lose 2 out of 3, and then he'd fire him because they had 17 coaches in 15 years. And it led to absolute chaos. They were falling apart, and the only reason they got back was because he was banished. Please, stop telling me about George Steinbrenner. You want accountability in this team? You want heads to roll? You want someone to be DFA'd? So do I. But stop telling me he needs to harken. No, that just needs to be the case. I'll catch you at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with Sean. Alex, thank you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Warm-up show's next. Bye. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.